Está com sempre. É. Yeah. Yo, let's go from here because he summarizes nicely what we've seen up to now. Samachay. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yochel Mosel Le'Adenu Es Tachlis Habriah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyochel transfers into our hands. And when the Torah talks about something being biyado, it means you've got control over it. When it's in your hand, you have control. The hand is that which controls things. Means you've got total control over it. Estachli sabria, the purpose of creation. Lamadnu liyo, we learned above, shebematara lahitiv lanu, atove nitzchis, rain seifis, that the goal, with this goal to bestow upon us the eternal and infinite goodness.
Yeah.
Yotze boyo eile mareches mufle shokeshe yichidi beneinu lebeinoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a system, an awesome system of kesher, of tiredness, individual kesher between us and him. He made himself, so to speak, dependent on us. You know why it had to be that way? Because if he gives, the receiving has to be the kind of receiving that doesn't create a bread of shame kind of situation. Therefore, you have to earn what you receive in order for it to really be the ultimate essence of goodness. We remember that. We have a hard time dealing with it because we're all into the freebies. We're all dull mentality human beings. Kumt mir. Magierli. I deserve. Yeah? So we don't understand what the problem of getting something for nothing is. Most of us strive for that. It's the highest level of achievement today is where you're making and you're not working. You know, Wasserman Zatzel used to say, a guy who makes money on the stock exchange or whatever. You know, he pushes a few buttons and makes a lot of money or whatever. He says he doesn't know what to do with it. Like you worked a dollar, you get a dollar, you know, but you worked a dollar and you get $50,000. Like there was a problem of taking. He felt there was got freebies. There should be a feeling of bread of shame there.
Not those persons not supposed to do that, like maybe?
No. Today you make your buck as quickly as you can to get back to the Gemara. Today we don't matter. But no, he was just trying to get a point across of a sensitivity. No, you shouldn't, I don't know, that you have to ask Charles. I don't know. That's we're talking ideals already. We're talking a very high level of. You have to understand Reb Simcha's whole life is based on giving and the whole. Like he said, like Reb Dessler's giving and taking. That's it. That's like kula Torah kula. You know, everything else perish. You see them fleeing from something because you're trying to be like Hashem. So the one area where you're mamash, the opposite of Hashem, is when you're taking. Everything tolerates on giving and taking. That's the whole. If you cut the world down to its most basic, you know, subatomic molecular structures, that's giving and taking. Those are the basic building blocks of creation. Those are the two, that's it, that's the whole world. Everything can be put into those two categories. So you see the desire to flee from taking as much as possible, even to the extent that I rather dig ditches, yeah, and eke out a living than kind of make big bucks by just pushing a few buttons. Our kind of knowing which buttons to push to make big bucks today is a skill that's worthy of that. You know, there's a talent, there's a skill.
Pressure as well, a tremendous amount of pressure.
Good. So once again, we're not talking about the practical aspect. I'm just saying the idea, the concept of the sensitivity that he used to have to the fact that earning a quick buck, even though you earned it, even that's lacking in there should be an aspect of bread of shame. We don't understand what I'm saying. We don't understand what bread of shame means today.
Well, we do say to the extent that Chazal say that the best thing is to work with your hands, like if you can work. So
Chazal say they understood. I'm so saying this generation doesn't.
Every person, often if I do something with our hands, you look back and you're proud of what you've done. So
not saying no. Understand, if someone would offer you a job, yeah, dig ditching for 3 shekels an hour, yeah, or you could trade an hour and a half a day and make $50,000 a day, okay, what would you be more likely to grab as a job? Okay, good. I'm saying there was a generation where people would take I'm just trying to show you there was a generation where people would take the dig ditching because the fear of being a taker would have been too hard. I'm saying there is that. I'm just trying to point out an ideal so that we at least know that, you know, I never strive for those things, but I'm grateful that I'm part of the nation that has people like that. I find it enormously comforting to know that they were fortunate, you know. There are people in a generation like that.
Are we not supposed to strive for that?
Once again, on an individual, on a cloud level, I can't tell people what to strive for. On an individual level, maybe people in this room that should be striving for that. I don't know. That's, I don't know where your real is. I don't know where you, how far down the journey you are. I don't know. That's something you've got to work out for yourself. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi if you can. No, I'm serious. That's a very personal question. You can't tell people what to strive for. Certainly not in a room with more than one person. No, Chazal never asked that. Like, you can't teach certain things to only two people and some to only one person. Well, why aren't they also giving schmoozing about what people should be working on? You tell a group of 30 people, you know, you should be working on this. How do you know? Like, you've spoken to each one, you know each one's holding, you know what they're working on. Anyway. No, I'm just putting out the reason why Kosbocha set up this whole system of Bechira and evil and working and earning and the is because of this bread of shame problem. And we live in a generation like bread of shame is not even like that much of a problem. Of course it's a problem. Of course there's a psychological, we've spoken about it many times, yeah, the havoc it causes in our relationships. But I'm just saying, just intellectually we have a hard time even understanding, so what's the problem? You know, so, you know, all this trouble. How many galaxies? 100 billion galaxies? Something like that. Well, you know, for this. What is the speed of light?
386,000 kilometers a second.
Yeah. I got Bocha to create something that fast. You know what a pillar that is. No, I need to keep thinking about that. That's
180,000 miles, I think.
Yeah. A second, 180 miles. No, because you're talking about something 60 light years away.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the distance that light can travel in 60 years. It's so, like, in 1 year, how far does light travel? How many kilometers?
Well, you can
times 60 times 365
times 24 times 60 times 60 times 380.
You don't know the equation. No, no, it's just what the answer is. It's
far.
It's far. It's very far. So of course Bocha had to create things like that. You understand? It's a peer. Just that I shouldn't feel bread of shame. That's like,
What do you mean so you don't feel the pressure?
The whole world is created and set up in such a way that we have to live here and we have to toil here and we have to battle here, okay, so that when we eventually get our final reward, we'll have earned it and not got it for free. To do that, of course, we have to create a world. We have to create an environment where I can work. Why don't you just create me in a little incubator tank, yeah, and then just give me all the good he wanted to give me and I'm going back to Ramaba. The whole thing could have been over in a few seconds. I didn't even have to even be created. I could have just stayed where I was and just basked in the eternal glory. No, because it was lacking and I never earned for it. So God's box to create the whole world, okay, it's a 12 year, it's a whole, it's free world, that's the whole my record, billions and billions of stars and light years and lights of speed and all that. This is all just there for me. It's a God's box to create the speed of light just for me so that I shouldn't feel bread of shame. That's a sobering thought. I don't know. I'm back from England. I'm very sober. Proper. No, it's a pillar. I'm saying
186,000 miles. 300,000 kilometers per second. 186,000 miles.
It's a lot quicker than my van goes. I can tell you. No, you understand? We even take the concept, there's a thing called speed in the world for granted, you know, because you do about 100 kilometers an hour. No, that's not a big deal. You talk about 186 per second, you're like, and how far that is, and how many billions of miles are you talking?
Even 186.
And that's just so that me, little me, should be able to get the best good possible. That's humongous. Ah, beautiful. We can go home now. I mean, anything else you need? What else do you need for the Shabbos? You can take that. That's all you need to do. The Shabbos. That's it. Anybody here want to tell me what you're supposed to do with Hanukkah? It's the hardest of the Chagim. I don't know what to do with Hanukkah. I'm serious. I don't. Life just carries on normal. Like Sukkot, I understand. You know, you put on Sukkot's clothes. You know, you go to Sukkot. You got to live in Esrog. It's Chol HaMoed. You're eating nice sudders. You don't have to go to work. I mean, you know, I understand Sukkot. You know, I can get my head around Sukkot. I'm just kind of Yom Kippur, Pesach. I mean, a whole month I'm Pesach. You change your whole house around. You all said I'm going to work. You stay at home. You eat matzahs or whatever. You understand, right? What's Chanukah? Chanukah is life's the same. So you say halal in the morning. Okay, so I said halal in the morning. So you think it's Rosh Chodesh, right? At night you take exactly 30 nanoseconds. Okay, and you light a candle, which you do when there's a power failure anyway. I light a candle. Got it? And then I'm just, then life just goes on. You're back at the office, or you play dreidel or whatever, you know, whatever, you know, you eat some things that burn for 8 days and that's it. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm just posing a question. That's Chanukah. Now, what do you do with that? What are you supposed to do with all of that? No, there's no Chanukah. You don't change your clothes. You don't have to go to the mikvah. You can go to the mikvah. I'm just saying, there's no shudders. There's no big meals. There's no big. There's just, so you lit a candle. Good. And now?
There's Chanukah Mishivas.
Bittul Torah. Good. Fine. More Bittul Torah. Legislated. But no, I'm saying, I don't know what to do with it. Are you? The yeshivas all closed down early.
This is a big
color. The yeshivas all closed down. Good. I'm just telling. I don't know. I'm being like, what do you want from me? I'm revealing. I don't know what to do with Chanukah. The truth is, when you get into it, it's geshmak, because there is an energy. There's a power. The Herod Dessler speaks about the enormous spiritual energy of Chanukah, the ability to steig and grow. The Brisker Rebbe knew what to do with Chanukah. He was sitting and learning. They tell him it's time to light. He would get up, light, and go back to his tender. He knew what to do with Chanukah.
His wife
dear
to him.
He could have led her light as well. No, mitzvah, no, but it's better to the mitzvah. It says adif, to do the mitzvah yourself is adif. There's big things about Chanukah. Let me tell you, there's big, big things going on lighting Chanukah. I'm just trying to pose a kasha that the simple Jew has here. People that know what they're doing and the kavanas and what's going on No, it's big. I'm not being facetious. It's big. But I'm saying, me personally, I don't know what to do about Chanukah because I don't talk about it too much. Yeah, you want to talk about Purim? I've got all the Purim schmoozes because Purim I can get in. I know what to do with Purim. On my level, I'm saying I feel that I have an avoider. I don't know what the avoider of Chanukah is. The truth is, avoider of Chanukah is the same as Bedikus Chometz. It's a very internal, very personal kind of experience. It's using that tweeny little light like we use for Bedikus Chometz to check out Chometz. It's where we stop and recapture what we were doing on Rosh Hashanah. It's time to stop and reevaluate, where am I holding? So we got to Rosh Hashanah, we had all our New Year's resolutions and all the things or whatever, but they've forgotten already by now. Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan's gone and been and gone. We've forgotten about Rosh Hashanah already. Chanukah is where you stop, take out the little candle and start looking again. That's really what's going on inside. You're right, the concept of the Chanukah Masibah, the celebration and all that stuff, I don't know how much of that is. I don't know how much there is an Indian in it. It is there, but it should minimize Bittul Torah as much as possible, certainly for Bochrim. Avrech is a different, because an Avrech is a different, he's a different Metzias. The Metzias of a Bochur, there was always a Shalat. Should Avrechim leave Seid in them, you know, should they go home early to light? What about a Bochur? An Avrech Havara should go home and light. Why? Because an Avrech is someone who has responsibilities outside of a base midrash. Part of being an Avrech means you've turned outwards. You are dealing with other people. You have a wife, you have children, that's the nature of an Avrech. You have a front door that needs a menorah outside so you can close it and say, stay out. Zugesund. Yavon, stay out. Western, secular, non-Jewish, non-Torah ideas, stay out. Yeah? Pesach, we open the door. Chanukah, we slam the door closed. We light the candle at the door and we close the door. Yeah? So an Avrech needs to do that. That's the nature of an Avrech. A Bocher is in yeshiva. He's not supposed to be outwardly focused. He's supposed to be inwardly focused. Yeah? So he should he leave the Beis Midrash to go light his menorah or not? So they're different shittas in the poiskim. Some say no, he shouldn't light later. Our minhag is to light at shkia the way the halacha is and go straight back to the Beis Midrash. Well, we sing a bit. What do we normally do? We have a little donut. We have a little party and we have a little dance or whatever, and go back to the Beis Midrash.
Half an hour.
Whatever. Yeah. No, it's a nice thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being sort of like a morose Litvak. Yeah, I'm saying. So. But we mustn't forget these people died and gave their lives to learn Torah, and we celebrated by not learning, you know, it's a bit of a stir. At the same time you see that there's a need for it. There's a need for it. Yeah.
Did you say that it's
the Misibot, the party? There's a need. You have to be careful, you have to know how much to do. This Misibot, I'll tell you what, you want to, once we're talking. off the subject, to talk off the subject. Yoni de Yoma. The makor, I believe, of the Masibot, and there may be other reasons as well, is that the time of Chanukah, which is Chinuch, Chanukah is Loshon Chinuch, was the responsibility, the people responsible for Chinuch and education, Torah education in the towns, used to get together, Chanukah time, to Mechazak Chinuch. So there used to be gatherings aimed at Mechazaking Torah and being Mechazak each other and Mechazaking the institutions and Torah in the communities. That's what Chanukah gelt was. To a certain extent, there's much more to say about Chanukah Geld. It's also on its own. But the idea of giving Chanukah Geld was to mechazak learning. You give the kids Chanukah Geld to buy svarim or to buy tapes. Or that's what it was about, to attract them, to bring them closer to Torah. The whole of Chanukah is mechazaking Torah. So the shayish, the root of these gatherings, what we call Chanukah parties, yeah? Which is what they do in America, because we feel kind of like let out because everyone else is partying, so we also have to party December time, yeah? So the root of the Chanukah party is a valid root. It's these misibot, these big gatherings that used to take place where people used to come together to Mechazak Torah as a group. And that's why the Chanukah party, the one thing that we've always had in the yeshiva and that we never missed out, this you would never see in the yeshiva for various reasons, but the one thing I want to vatel on is the Masibah Chanukah. Because Masibah Chanukah is not a Chanukah party. It's a chizuk. We don't do Chanukah spiels. Purim, you want to do spiels, we do Purim spiels, we make a tonus. Chanukah is not a time for the tonus. It's a time for Divrei Torah, it's a time for Divrei Chizuk. In a nice environment, there's nice food, there's this, we get together. But the Ika word of the Chanukah Masiba is Divrei Chizuk. It's Chanukah, it's Chinuch. It's Chizuk for Chinuch. That's really what it's about. Just that you don't mistake your priorities a little bit. Because it needs a chizuk, the Gemara says it's one of the three things that needs constant chizuk is Torah. It's chizuk. So this is the time of year where we stop at mechazuk. This is where people prepare to give their lives for Torah. You know, there were four things that the Yevonim decreed against: Torah, Milah, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos. So in Hanukkah we have a Rosh Chodesh always. There's always a Shabbos. This year there are two.
It's 8 days.
8 days is Milah. And Torah the Yevonim one. We gross Beetle Torah on Chanukah. So the avoid of Chanukah is Mechazak Torah. That's the fourth aspect of Chanukah.
Nice.
How do you Mechazak it?
Yeah.
You have gatherings, you get people to talk about it, to speak about Torah, to get the Cheshivas of Torah.
Make it beautiful.
Make it beautiful, Mahadar it. Yeah.
What, like Simchas Torah, like we should, like we aren't talking about
Simchas Torah is a different celebration of Torah. No, Simchas Torah is its Torah, Kabbalah Satorah. Purim's got its Kabbalah Satorah. Shavuos is its unique Kabbalah Satorah.
It's not Kabbalah Satorah, it's just reminding me.
Chanukah is, to a certain extent, it was another Kabbalah Satorah. It was Jews at Rishon LeVul, they were prepared to give their lives for Torah. And that energy, but Rav Dessler says that the time of the year where you're learning Torah affects other Jews more than any other time of the year is Chanukah. The potential for doing Kiruv Chanukah time is enormous, because the learning you do has an ability, because Klal Yisrael was so united and so bound after the whole period of the Nisyavnev, was so united that the Neshamas are so bound together that the learning you do on Chanukah actually affects other people more than it does the whole year. It affects them the whole year as well. But the cure potential of your learning during Chanukah time is very big. The Rav Dessler says, if you look in the, and he's got an essay on Chanukah there, a very beautiful essay on Chanukah, discusses the why Dafka Chazal introduced an 8-day festival of Chanukah when the miracles were big, but they weren't bigger than, we've had many other miracles just as big, you know. Yeshua, the sun stood still, so one we have a Yeshua day, and this day, why Dafka this miracle? So he explains, because it's a klal issue. It's an area where you can mechazak the whole klal through Torah.
Well, post Chanukah,
would there any Gevurim Nisim? The fact that you have to ask that question is not a nice galu.
But not on a klal level.
Everybody has a nice galu. But that was the last. Yeah, that was the last.
That was nice the Ketter.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we have a party and we don't have a party about the sunset.
What about Purim?
That was Nista.
What was before?
That was before, yeah.
But even if it was after, it was Nista. That's why Shem's name's not in the Megillah. Yeah. It's a different kind of nice. That's why the two Derubonin festivals
Very interesting. Okay, that's another subject. Compare those two and see the different reactions. One was the reaction of war, the one is the reaction of sitting and being true. But the Ikar Voida of Chanukah is Mesiris Nefesh, but Moisa Nefesh for Torah, for Klal Yisrael. That's why you needed the candle, that's why you needed the miracle of the oil. There was so much potential for Koichav Oitzim Yad in the miracle of the war, even though it seems. Those of us that lived through the 6 Day War don't have a pill on this one. But if you could look at the war and think, well, you know, maybe we're just wrong. You know, we have a better arm. We are better statisticians. You know, the Jews have got a better head. You know, then that's why we beat them. So you needed the oil to come along and Megala that even the war was a miracle. So you ask yourself, how's it possible? You know, the 20 Yeshiva Bochrim wiped out the whole American army. Like, how is that possible? So if you look at the 6 Day War, you see that it looks possible. You know, a handful of Israeli soldiers wiped out, you know, 5 Arab armies. Like, how is it possible that you could think Koichav Oitzim Yadi when you see such a big miracle? So we see that it's possible. You know, because after the 6 Day War, we all said, wow, look what a good army we got. You know, 2 guys in a bulldozer wiped out, like, a, you know, 300 Syrian tanks and said, wow, check how good we are. Check what good bulldozers we got. No, I'm not trying to be facetious, but I'm Yisrael B'tach B'tzal, the Yisrael trust in the army. So you think, how is it possible? So you say it's possible. So you needed the nice, you needed the Pach Shemen afterwards to Megala that even that was a nice. At Tana, you needed the first Iraq war to Megala that the 6 Day War was a nice. You get it?
Gulf War.
The Gulf War. 39 scuds land in the most densely populated areas in Israel, and no one gets hurt. And the army is not allowed, the Israeli army's hands are tied, and they're not allowed to do anything. Yeah? And you win the war without Mamash lifting a finger. So that's a big nice, yeah? That's an enormous nice. So what's that telling you? They're telling you, even the nice where you fought and you thought you won, even that was just as much of a nice as this one. Same as the Pach Shemen comes along and tells you, you might have thought that, you know, the Maccabeim, you know, because they, whatever, you know, they were good soldiers, they wiped out the whole Greek army with all the elephants and everything. You might have had a half a minute that had something to do with you. So the Pach Shemen comes along and says, no. That's the whole aspect of Pisumanais, it's not the Pisumanais of the oil. What we light the candle and we presuming nice. What nice are we being mefasim? Yeah, the nice of the oil. The oil burnt for 8 days. That's cute. That's nice. That's the lesson I've got to get. That if Hashem wants to make oil burnt for 8 days, He'll make oil burnt for 8 days. That's the whole of Chanukah. Wow. He can make vinegar burn for 8 days if He wants. So Hashem can make oil burn for 8 days. That's the whole Chanukah. No, the Pesuminais is and what's in Alanisim? What's the Alanisim? The whole Mechoma. Alanisim doesn't mention the Pach. After they came and they lit the candles.
What did the Gemara say?
Okay, good. Yeah, Gemara says because the oil is a Macha. Yeah. That I've answered that question already. It's because the oil's megale on the milchama. The milchama was just like the oil is a bara nice. There's no room to discuss even. There's no room for a molecule of koichav oitzim yadiya. So to the milchama, there's no room for even a molecule of koichav oitzim yadiya. But the ikka pesumi nice is to shatter the koichav oitzim yadiya. It's not that oil can burn for 8 days. That's a big deal. What's the big deal? Oil burns for 8 days. That is a big deal as well, because oil doesn't normally burn for 8 days. So when it does, that's big. But that wasn't what we needed it for. I mean, the sun stood still for Yeshua. That's an enormous nice. Because oil burns for 8 days, you have an isolated little miracle that doesn't affect the rest of the world. The sun stands still. You know what happens if the sun stands still for 1 second? Look, the whole world order's been messed up. The South Pole starts freezing, and this starts melting, and this starts. Yeah, the whole world. That's a much bigger nice. In fact, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the shita that says that Moshe Rabbeinu also did the same nice as Yeshua. And I think that even Ezra says that it can't be, because it was such a big miracle. Had he done it, it would have been written in Chumash. It's his Raya. It was such an enormous miracle.
So the oil burning for 8 days, it wasn't such a, you know, I'm saying in terms of the cosmic ramifications. Kenzan, the sun coming to a standstill is even bigger than the sea splitting. Because the sea splits, it's once again, it's an isolated instance. You know, the sun stopping is a cosmic occurrence that has ramifications on the whole world, the whole universe.
Amazing how many other people documented it.
Who?
The sun setting stuff.
There may be papyrus stuff that discuss the day the sun's still or whatever. There might be. You're the researchers. I'm not too much of a historian.
I heard a lecture. Someone did. They found it where there's someone in someone's history that they have this day of either darkness. We celebrate this day of darkness. Or day of light.
You find pagan things which are sometimes kashrut. These people that study this stuff.
Yep.
You do find stuff like that. Anyway, that's just a little bit about what I don't understand about Chanukah.
Here more is Chazal calculates the difference in the calendar between the sun and the moon. I think I think that the space they need to calculate for timing. I couldn't understand why there was like a difference in like hundreds of thousands of milliseconds between the difference in the sun and the moon. I think there's a big time with Chacham actually calculated perfectly, but I couldn't understand.
Because of the sun standing still that day.
They traced it back to. I should have stopped the sun.
How long did it stand still?
The sun was going down, it stood until he finished the war. That's what it says. How long? I don't know. I don't think it says.
And
Chazal might discuss it.
We're really talking about the earth standing still, of course. With the sun.
It says the sun stood still. It says the sun stood still.
So
I hear what you're saying.
Relative to us.
Okay, you have to ask some difference. What's Pshat there? I don't know.
Isn't the first one that said that the sun set quicker in Parshat Vayetze? Yaakov was on.
Yeah.
Says it as well. Yeah. Listen, when the Leshem was left over there, the sun didn't do anything. There, the sun went down. Okay. The people that were the Leshem's Levi, that's where Elashiv Zayda's Levi said it never got dark until they covered the kever. He was nift on Shabbos. He was buried on Motzei Shabbos. The people alive today that witnessed this, that it never got dark until they closed his cave in Yerushalayim. Even though the sun had gone down, it was Motzei Shabbos. But there, the sun didn't stop. That was just whatever. There was the light of Yerushalayim. That's who he was. Pele. His sefer is called Leshem Shavuv Achloma, and he was nifton Parshas Pekudei, which is the Parsha of Leshem Shavuv Achloma. It's the row of the breastplate, the stones, the 12 stones. So one of the rows is the Leshem Shavuv Achloma, the three different stones. So that's what his sefer is called. He's named that Leshem. And he was nifton Parshas Pekudei, which is the Parsha of Leshem Shavuv Achloma, and his Yotzad always comes out on that Parsha. And it didn't get dark until that finished. But that's different because I thought, no, that's not the sun standing still. Everything not normally, there was just whatever, there was some kind of light. Okay, the Mashvachet. Alright. So you can't say I didn't speak about Chanukah. You're not prepared, you're well prepared.
He's going to look for this. He's going to.
No, it's
kind of good.
Silly.
I didn't talk about that's on the head.
That's got to go up. I've referred it to so many people.
Yeah.
Which one?
The last one. Better go.
It's on the.
Wherever I go, I tell people to listen to it. I tell them go to the website and download it, and they're going to go there.
Who can do that?
Whose job is it?
Who knows how to do that?
If you come up to my office one day, I'll show you how to do it.
Okay.
I just need someone there because I don't know how to get into a certain place. I don't know how to find the file or whatever. But once I found it, I'm sure I was fine. I think I can do it. Yeah.
What, you put it up, upload it.
No, there's a program, and when Moshe Rose's desktop, there's a program. You just open it up and you drag it in there, and it kind of does it. Something like that. I don't know.
It's
one of the, I don't know, you drag it in there and then you drop in the address and it sends it. I think it sends it to Martin Gottlieb, whatever. I don't know, something like that, whatever.
It's gone
for
the next week.
Whatever, I'm just saying. Yeah, that's right. No, then it uploads it to our server and then from there he just puts in a link on the website. Something like that. I don't know. We need somebody on site that actually can dabble with our website.
Sure.
Well, if he has a program already, that's fine.
We've been doing it. That's how we got all the ones up there in the first place.
But does anyone have the FTP site written down? Is you, this is where it's going.
I'm sure you can get it from him. If you call him and give it.
You have to speak to Moshe Gottlieb. Okay, so after Hanukkah, remind me. Ball's in your quarter. Okay. Okay, so that all started because we were discussing bread of shame. So let's at least finish the paragraph. So Kosh Boch makes it a kviyochel dependent on us. The world stands on us. And it's dependent on us whether we go good or bad. Zoisvoid and further. Who also etanu daimulo. He made us similar to him. We build worlds and we destroy worlds. Same as Hashem builds and destroys worlds. Everything is handed over to us. If we do what's incumbent upon us, we bring the world to its tachlis and its completion. And if not, we destroy the world. So whatever a person does, good and obligatory that a person does, can be called hamenoyes b'maisisra, and all the withholding backs from the sumeras that don't do the thou shalt not. Humanik kolish bochu nesina atzuma pela. He somehow gives a kolish bochu an enormous and awesome giving. What is he giving? What do we give Hashem? Let's try and work out. Hashem needs something from us kaviyachol, which means we're going to give him something. What do we give Hashem? What's the only thing you can give Hashem? Yeah. If you want to do chesed with Hashem, what's the only thing you do with him? Watch, listen carefully here. You give him the ability to give to you. That's what you're giving him. The most important thing, kaviyachol for Hakadosh Baruch Hu, is to be able to give something to me. But it's not an ideal giving unless I earn it. So by earning it, by doing what he wants me to do, to earn it, I give him the ability to do what he really wants to do. Have you got that? You've got to get that clear into your head, because every time you do a mitzvah, and every time you do something you're supposed to do, every time you stop doing something you're not supposed to do, you're doing a kosh boch, a chesed, chaviyachol, of allowing him to give something to you. It's a very, very strange kavanah to him. But that's